stocks last.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business. Inside Your Business on Kaya Biz is powered by Capitec Business Banking. Banking. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
Right, it's just gone a 6:45 and we continue to look at small businesses and your financial health. So South Africa is home to one of the most sophisticated financial systems on the continent, yet millions of economically active consumers still lack access to meaningful financial guidance. The view from Summit Africa, a sector-focused private equity firm, argues that this gap is not just a social challenge, it's a commercial opportunity worth billions. Now, according to them, more than 13 million South Africans earning between around 22 and 40,000 rand a month actively use financial products, but very few have the access to personalized goal-based financial guidance. Private equity says that they can play a catalytic role in building scalable businesses that actually close this gap. Let's unpack this now and unpack this opportunity with Ntabazeng Ntema, partner at Summit Africa. A very good evening to you, Ntabazeng. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, and thanks for having me, and good evening to your listeners as well.
So in Ntabazeng, obviously, there seems to be a structural disconnect here in terms of high financial product usage, but low financial capability. Why does this gap exist?
I think the gap exists mainly because of history. But I think because of affordability, most people, even if they can afford call it more sophisticated products, they tend to go for the simpler products. And I'll give an example in the insurance industry. Most people actually have insurance products, but most of those products are actually funeral cover. So about 60%, I think is the number that we calculated, of people who have insurance products, financial insurance products, actually have funeral cover. But they don't actually engage with other types of products, for example, life cover or other types of insurance products. And that's mainly because they don't get the right kind of guidance and the right kind of advice in terms of, this is where you are in life, this is where you're trying to get to in terms of your financial stability, and these are the products that can get you there. So that financial, that link between what's actually available and what people have access to, and the knowledge in terms of, you know, what products should I actually get to be able to get me to where I need to be, is lacking, which is why we're saying there's quite a big opportunity in actually opening up that link and closing that gap between, you know, available financial products and also the advice given to people for them to be able to know how to access those products and actually, you know, benefit from those products.
It's interesting, though, Ntabazeng, because this has been a problem for a long time, and over the last, I would say over the last decade, there has been a concerted effort. I mean, there's so much of information that is available, financial education that is available. We have the internet that is accessible, and financial institutions have been making a concerted effort to educate not only their consumers, but using that education to bring on new consumers. So why then do we still have this issue of people lacking the information and education to get into proper financial products and getting the correct guidance that they need?
I think it's the manner in which that information is available. The information, like you say, is available, you know, on the internet. There's quite a lot of information that's published in terms of, you know, this product does this, and, you know, this is the benefits of those products, and all of that information is available, but it's not available in a way that you know, people on the street can actually digest. And most people actually want to sit with somebody face to face who actually, number one, understands their own financial landscape and can actually give them advice that's tailor-made to them. And that's the missing link. It's just that human interaction. You know, like, you can put as many articles as you want on the internet, but some people don't consume information on financial stability and financial products in that manner. They need somebody to actually guide them and advise them, and also not just giving generic kind of guidance, but providing guidance that's tailor-made to my situation. And that's the missing link. That's why, even though the products are there, the information is there, you're finding that people are still not getting access to those products or actually taking up some of those products.
So when you look at the small businesses, small and medium enterprises, people coming into the market, startups. And, you know, it takes me back to that advert that we had many years ago. I think it was the Industrial Development Corporation that used to have this ad about OMA and OMA rusks. And they said that OMA had the great idea to make the rusks. She knew how to make the rusks, but she didn't know how to turn her rusks into a business. So are we still there where you have people wanting to start up the business? They have great ideas, but they don't know basic financial education in order to run that business.
That gap still exists, unfortunately. And there isn't enough in terms of support for small businesses to be able to get them to a place where they can turn an idea into a business. Because, I mean, it's well and good to have a good idea in terms of this is what I want to do, these are the problems that I want to solve. But to actually operationalize that idea is actually a very difficult transition, especially for somebody who doesn't have a business background. And I feel like in South Africa, we don't have enough people that are invested enough in actually, you know, helping small businesses, you know, get from a place where they are, you know, coming up with an idea and actually making that idea into a business and running a successful business on the back of actually developing a good idea, as it were.
Okay, so...
But also, that being said, though, not all good ideas are all good businesses. So I think entrepreneurs also need to understand that.
Well, I think that's an important element, right? So if you, for instance, have incubator programs, then the incubator, I mean, when you get into the incubator, before you even get into the incubator program, I think you need to go through some sort of assessment to see whether your business is actually viable. Do you have a minimum viable product?
Yes.
Do you... You know, all of this information needs to be put forward first. And in that assessment, they will tell you, look, this is a great idea, not now, maybe not this program. You need to go back, do a little bit more work. What I'm essentially asking is, do we have this kind of programs available for people to give them that information? Look, your idea is great, but not just yet.
We do have some programs, but like I said, it's not at a level where it should be to develop the kind of entrepreneurial environment that we're looking for in South Africa to kind of create the jobs that, you know, that we need to create, to create the economic kind of momentum that we need to create. So the programs are there, but they are not, there's not enough of them, number one. Number two, most startups or most businesses don't actually know how to access them. And because there's so few of them around, they tend to be quite selective, and what I find actually is that most of them tend to focus more on tech companies rather than, you know, just your normal kind of businesses. There are some programs that I think the government has introduced, but as I say, there's no much clarity in terms of how do you access those, how do you actually become part of that program. And because there's so many businesses looking to get that kind of advice, it's very difficult to then get into those types of programs. And that's the gap really that we see. They do exist, there's just not enough of them.
So how do we bridge that? I mean, what kind of, if you were in a position to change this, what would you do? Because I think you're right, there isn't enough programs. And if I look at it, I mean, I'm in the business space as well, and I often get invited to these different programs. And I have to be honest, the majority of the invitations that come through are all being funded by international countries, Germany, Norway, the US. These are all international funders that are putting these incubator programs into place. What are the local programs doing? So if you had an opportunity, I mean, would it be as simple as going to government and saying your small business ministry, this is where you need to be, you know, actively pushing out these programs, getting people in and giving them the proper training to carry out or to, you know, fulfill their ideas of their business?
I think definitely government is one avenue, but it's not the only avenue. So I think if I had to think about, you know, how do you bridge that gap between having enough kind of advice for small businesses to turn the ideas into businesses, I think you need different ways to deliver that message. And I think it needs to start quite early on. For example, I remember, I don't know on which program it was or not, on what radio station it was, but there was somebody talking about, you know, at school level, they were already, you know, starting to talk about entrepreneurship and how to start a business, mm-hmm. and actually giving kids at that level case studies to, you know, start a business. If you have an idea, start a business, let's see you get to, and then providing them with that advice. I think it needs to start earlier, and I think there needs to be different types of avenues. We can't depend on, like you say, international funding to be able to get that kind of education. We can't also depend on government alone to be able to provide that kind of information. I think people in business also need to step up and actually provide that advice, even if it's at a much earlier level than they would normally. For example, not a business that's already started, or not somebody who's been working on a business idea for a while, but, you know, just getting people thinking about how to start a business earlier on in life. And I think that kind of creates a right momentum for, you know, not everybody will become an entrepreneur, but those who actually want to take up that route in life, if they get that kind of education earlier on and in school, then by the time they are ready to start a business, they already have the background, and they've already, you know, tested that idea. For example, they've already, you know, started a business before. It's much easier to start a second business if you've actually tried to run a business before than if you're starting from scratch. So even if it's like a school project that you're doing that's linked to sort of entrepreneurship, that kind of gives you a base from where to start, rather than, you know, when you're already like 25, you have this great idea and you go, okay, let me start a business, but you don't have that kind of background. It's much harder. But if that education is already sort of ingrained in your brain at an earlier age, it's much easier to then start a business from that perspective.
I absolutely agree. You know, I often say, you know, I have a son in high school, and I've always told him, I said, it's not about going to school to get good results and get a job. Your big focus is you want to make big money, and you want to do your own thing. So I said, go into business, mm-hmm. go and learn. And you know, he just chose subjects now, and he took business and he took economics. It's tough. He's loving it. But I think it should have started a long time ago. I think it is more available in most schools now. I don't know if it is widely available across, you know, the different your public schools and your private schools, whether it's across the board, because everyone has different subjects. Like certain schools would offer you like tourism and consumer studies. But I think it is out there. It just needs to be pushed. But completely agree with your point. It starts with education at a younger age, and how we teach children. It's not just about finding a job. You can also, you know, getting that entrepreneurial mindset ingrained in them from an early age. Not everyone is set out to become a doctor or lawyer or to become an IT professional. You can also go into business and start your own thing.
This is true. But I think also, more importantly, people in business need to also step up and provide some kind of guidance in that process, because it's much easier, you know, as somebody who's been, you know, running a business for 10, 20 years, for you to impart some kind of knowledge
right.
to somebody who's starting up, then, you know, this is not a teacher that does this. I think it needs to be somebody with some industry knowledge that actually, you know, supports another business that's coming up, if you understand what I mean.
So in terms of saying, where are we in terms of private equity firms coming into this and assisting other businesses, maybe in that specific industry that they're working in, to bring up, give opportunities? Give us a bit of an understanding of what this landscape looks like at the moment.
So, I mean, private equity is quite a broad kind of sector.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of private equity firms have different strategies.
Right.
For example, you have those private equity funds that invest in small businesses. You have private equity funds that invest in, prefer to invest in large, more established businesses. And then you have, you know, investment firms or private equity firms that invest in growth capital. You have those that invest in venture capital. So everybody has a different strategy, and everybody kind of looks at different things, right? But in terms of where the industry is developing, I think it's a lot more developed than it was if you look at where the private equity industry was 20 years ago. But I mean, the main, I would say, the main objective behind private equity is actually bringing in private capital to drive additional growth. And most of us in the private equity space focus on not just getting the right kind of financial returns from the investments that we make, but also creating the right kind of impact through the investments that we make. For example, us at Summit Africa, we have three core kind of objectives when it comes to impact, which is job creation, community upliftment, transformation and diversity. And we feel that if those three elements exist or come about because of an investment that we make in a company, that you know, that already creates quite a lot of momentum from an economic growth perspective, and also from a development perspective, and the kind of impact that it can have on society in general and South Africa as a whole. Private equity is a very broad subject, and different private equity firms have different strategies and where they like to focus. Our focus at Summit Africa is more on providing expansionary capital into medium-sized businesses.
Okay. I was just going to say that, you know, it's also important for companies like yourself, you know, to impart knowledge onto people coming into the business world, especially when they're looking for finance. So everyone walks around saying that we need access to finance, but many of these businesses are coming in with these great ideas, but they're also not investor ready. They're not saying the right things. They're not asking. They're not too sure what they're asking for, where that money is going to go. And for established businesses and for private equity firms that know exactly what they're looking for and what they would give money to, imparting that kind of knowledge onto people coming into the sector is really important.
It's very critical, and you're right. Many businesses are not investor ready, or they're not investable. But I think it also, that obligation also falls on the companies themselves to go find that information. For example, if you call Summit Africa and you say, you know, this is my idea, this is my business, would you invest in it? We're quite happy to sit down with you and say, okay, this is where your business is at. This is what we're looking for, and this is how you need to get there. And for you, for somebody to look at your business seriously as an investor, this is what you need to have in place. So those conversations are being had, but unfortunately, because, you know, private equity, of course, is a growing industry in South Africa, it's not big enough to be able to impart that kind of knowledge on a large scale. You almost have to, as an entrepreneur or as a business owner, or somebody looking for funding, need to go and speak to people in that industry, or you know, in the investment industry, to really try and find out, you know, what is it that I need to do with my business to get it investor ready or to get it investable.
Great advice.
But as I say, those conversations are happening on a daily basis. We have those kind of conversations all the time with businesses that we speak to, but you know, it's very difficult to then, you know, have those conversations in a kind of like a broad forum, because, you know, not everybody's business is at the same level.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, trying as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, to have those conversations with investors, I think it's critical for growth and to making sure that you get the kind of funding that you need.
And Thabo Seng, thank you so much for your insights this evening. Very helpful, and I think great advice. You know, if you are a small and medium enterprise, these are some of the things that you need to do. You need to figure out where you're at, get some sort of assessment as to whether you have a bankable project here, whether you stand a chance for finance, and get in touch with people like Summit Africa, because there is money on the table and they do have a certain amount of responsibility to actually help other companies come into the industry. So here's a chance for you to get in touch and also get that kind of mentorship that's so needed in getting small businesses up and running. And Tabaseng Tema is a partner at Summit Africa. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
If you're running a business, you know this sound. That's growth. Another customer. Money in the bank. Why should your business slow down for your bank? With Capitec Business, it doesn't. You get lower fees, faster credit approvals, and bankers who know your business. Now that's progress. Bank on better with Capitec Business Banking. Capitec is an authorized credit provider. FSP 46669. Initiation, service fees, and conditions apply. Do you